Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Delved. We dove into it a little bit. The worst Batman, I do say right now, I do have to say, it's technically Affleck. But, I mean, George Clooney and Val Kilmer were in ridiculous movies, and they are both kind of...
Best Batman?
Best Batman. Ugh. I mean, I have to say, absolutely, without a doubt, is Christian Bale. Okay. But Michael Keaton has a special soft spot in my heart.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Of course.
He was my first real big Batman.
He was. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and so weird that he was the Batman.
Yeah. And also, like, you were like, okay, so Beetlejuice is the Batman?
I know. It was super weird. Super weird.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, is it possible, though, that Affleck suffers from the fact that the movies are bad,
yes,
too?
Oh, absolutely. You know? Affleck was in the Nolan movie or in a Nolan Batman movie, he wouldn't be the worst.
He wouldn't
Batman.
Be near as bad.
It'd probably be George Clooney.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if there's nipples on the bat suit, right there, that alone.
That's really super bad.
Holy rusty metal, Batman. What? It's holy and rusted.
Yeah, terrible dialogue.
Dude.
Shout out to George Clooney. Come on the show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 15 of CFD's Podcast for Good. Mm-hmm. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I am the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and this is, as always...
Heather Lucas, the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive.
That's right, and we are talking about those blasted teenagers.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
I like that you're shaking your fist, too.
Yeah, shaking my fist. Get off my lawn, kid. Those disrespectful punks.
That's right.
But we're actually talking about nice things related to teenagers.
For a change.
For a change, yeah. For a change, those disrespectful jerks.
That's right.
We are actually we're actually talking about STEM for teenage girls. So it's quite specific.
Yeah.
But we figured we would talk a little bit about an issue that that I think will change the face of our work. Like, you know, our basically work crew that's
our
out
future.
There. Our future, yeah. I mean, so we sat down and we talked to Kathy Rogeveller, the CEO and founder of the award-winning, apparently, Ignite Worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious business.
Yeah, she talks about it a little. It's
she
really
does.
Rad.
Yeah, she award-winning Ignite Worldwide. They basically specialize in attempting to bring STEM and make it more accessible to teenage girls in public schools.
Yeah, and that's great.
Noble work that they're doing at Ignite Worldwide, and kind of a cool thing to try and sort of change the dynamics of the workplace and in particular that segment of professional work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we will I thought it was a really interesting conversation. Kind of talked about how stretched public schools are and how this is an issue not so much of will but more of tools.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah. We don't have the skills, we don't have the tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear that a lot and you wonder where that is going to come from, because you can only set your state budget so much for education, and then at a certain point you have to figure out other ways to do
it. Yeah, we had this little hiccup there for a while when it comes to state budgets and education in Washington State.
Yeah, the old McCleary decision.
Yeah.
For those of you who kind of know exactly what that is, it really set up some troubles for about 4 years with regards to the state budget and education.
Yeah.
Places like Ignite Worldwide are attempting to sort of fill that gap,
mm-hmm.
and try and introduce curriculum and skills to a set of teenagers who may not have access to that school, to that skill set. So that's pretty cool. Before we get into that interview,
yes,
you have a question of the pod.
Yes, and I came up with this question based solely off the name Ignite Worldwide.
Absolutely.
You, Philip Kerrigan, have you ever accidentally set something on fire?
I have.
Yeah?
I accidentally set something on fire. It was our microwave.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do tell.
So we were living in...
How old were you, first of all?
I believe I was 16, 17 years old.
Okay.
My brother...
One of those pesky teenagers?
I was one of these pesky, disrespectful punk teenagers.
Jeez.
My brother and I, who was also... No, I don't think he was a disrospectful punk teenager yet.
Not quite yet.
And he was like 11.
He grew into it.
Yeah. We were downstairs... Our downstairs at our old house used to be like this really cool, like a playroom for like us. Like, and as you got older, it converted from toy stuff to like video games and that sort of stuff. So we were downstairs watching a movie, and I can't remember which one it was. And I went upstairs, got some microwave popcorn, tossed it in the microwave for 2 minutes, did not realize that I set it for 20.
Oh,
right. So I went back downstairs, and my brother and I are kind of just hanging out watching. And my brother goes like, hey, do you smell that? It wafted all the way downstairs.
Oh, my.
Right. I walk up the stairs. And so there's a door to get from the downstairs to the upstairs. The minute I open the door, there's just a wafting amount of smoke.
Yeah.
Right. The fire alarm is starting to go off upstairs. So I get up there and I make my way through the smoke. Right.
Uh-huh.
To this tiny ball of fire that is now inside the microwave. And my brother and I are like, oh, my God.
That's awesome.
So of course, like, you instantly go over the microwave, you hit the button that opens it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother has like a cup of water and he splashes it on the popcorn, puts it out, but it's smoke everywhere. And we were less worried about having set the house potentially on fire, and more worried about two things. Number one, what are mom and dad gonna do when they get home and this place smells like it burnt down?
Yeah.
And what are we gonna do about this microwave, which now is literally like all black on the inside,
charred.
Totally charred, right? And so we kept that microwave for another 5 years in our house.
Really?
Yes.
It still worked.
It worked for another 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they don't make things like they used to.
They do not. They do not. That would have never worked in a microwave today, right? We kept it for another 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, everything tastes burnt after that.
Sure.
You put it in the microwave because it, like, the air molecules mixed with each other. But yes, I did accidentally set our microwave on fire. Sorry, Mom. I know you're listening to the show now. I apologize.
Yeah, and I wanted to definitely include the word accidentally because I didn't want to, you know, like.
Right. You didn't want me to admit to my purposeful crimes?
Yeah, your arsons.
My arsons?
Yeah.
My many, many arsons?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
especially when your parents listen.
I have not committed arson, Mom. I have not committed arson.
To set the record straight.
But I did accidentally set my mother's microwave on fire.
Yeah.
I'm sure she remembers.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Especially if everything tasted like burning.
Yes. For the next half a decade. How about you? Have you set anything on fire accidentally?
Well,
I'm going to go on a limb and say you've definitely purposefully set something on fire.
Thank you. Thank you for thinking so highly of me. I recently...
Heather equals arson.
Heather equals nightmares. I recently, like, I moved and the first time I used my stove to cook something.
Your new one now?
Yeah.
That you just moved into?
Yeah. So it wasn't a big deal.
Okay, yeah, sounds like it.
But like I was cooking something on the stove and there was some splatter. So I went to wipe it up with the dish towel.
Okay. Okay.
Wiped.
Little did I know it was soaked in kerosene.
Right? It had to have been because I wiped on the actual stovetop, not the burner, not the pan, nothing. I didn't touch that.
Yeah.
But it was like, it must have been soaked in kerosene or something, but
it caught on fire.
And I was like, oh my God, why? Why is this happening?
That's fantastic.
I've never had anything do that.
Wow.
Like I've probably had a lot of disasters that could have happened.
Absolutely.
Around a stove. Yeah. But that was the first time. And I was like, I didn't even touch
that's
the
amazing.
Burner. It was amazing.
That's amazing. In your new place.
Yeah, my new place.
Yeah.
I also caught my car on fire once.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you then?
20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was driving from here to California.
Okay.
And my mom was like, make sure you check the oil in the morning.
Okay.
Didn't check the oil, it caught on fire going up a hill it was becoming dusk. In like I don't know.
You look like Ghost Rider out there. You got some flaming vehicle.
I did, and I was just like, "This is okay." And my friend and I were in Northern California when it caught on fire.
Yeah.
So we had made it from there to Santa Barbara in Southern California after it caught on fire.
Wow.
And then the car continued to run for, you know, like a month or so. And it was like,
and then it died.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did take it on a test drive to like sell it to some dudes and it died on the freeway.
That's always troubling for a test drive.
I didn't tell them that it caught on fire, but they didn't. They obviously didn't.
They didn't purchase.
They did not buy it.
You. Yeah,
no,
obviously.
They did not. It had caught on fire.
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So before we continue to regale you with our amazing fire stories, like a scene from Backdraft.
Yeah, right.
We are going to toss it to the interview with Kathy Rogefeller. She is the CEO and founder of Ignite Worldwide. Here she is.
So we are here with Kathy Rogefeller. She is the CEO and founder of Ignite Worldwide. Kathy, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah. Can you give us a little history about Ignite Worldwide and what you do for the community?
I'd be happy to. So I started Ignite in 1999 through a federal grant in the Seattle School District. I've been a school counselor and teacher for 15 years before I came here to Seattle. And in 1999, I happened to get very fortunate and a federal grant to encourage young women to pursue non-traditional career choices and learn about high-wage, high-demand type careers in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pursued this grant, did research, and worked very hard on figuring out how we could help young women understand opportunities that were high wage, high demand, also non-traditional for women.
Sure.
So I worked with women from Microsoft and all the other companies in the area, and Ignite Worldwide came to be.
Right on.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, Ignite seems to be an acronym. What does Ignite stand for in your naming convention?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for asking that. Inspiring Girls Now in Technology Evolution.
Okay, great.
Awesome. So then, how important are STEM programs to engaging teenagers, especially teenage girls?
So the fastest growing jobs, careers for this next generation who are graduating, who are in middle school, high school, elementary school, is going to be in the area of technology and engineering and science. And we really need to encourage our young people to be comfortable with technology, to consider it as a career choice. And mm-hmm. particularly in communities of color and young women, mm-hmm. we really need to make sure that the average kid in a local public high school understands their opportunities.
Right, right.
So particularly we've targeted young women because women are significantly underrepresented in mm-hmm. these career choices.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So how do you narrow down who you're going to attempt to connect with? Do you actually do like a broad sort of, we're going to go into a school or we're going to partner with a school, and then we'll realize who really has potential in these areas from there? Or do you actually get referrals? How does that typically work? Who do you usually serve?
That's a great question. The way Ignite Worldwide works is we partner with a teacher at the school. The teacher is the person that actually runs the program at the school, and it is usually the computer science teacher mm-hmm. or the engineering teacher or the career center specialist.
Right.
So we work with the career teachers. So
okay.
a teacher at the school decides they're going to run the program, and then we have a whole toolbox of activities that the teachers have to pick from.
Excellent.
The program is during the school day.
Okay.
And any girl that wants to participate gets to participate.
Awesome.
The point of the program is to remove as many barriers as possible.
Yes.
So that any girl feels comfortable attending these events.
Right.
Can bring her friends, can come and go as she pleases. If she can't attend one, maybe she can attend the next one.
Mm-hmm.
We really want this to be kind of no barrier situation.
Yeah.
So that girls feel encouraged. Because typically they're not excited about these careers. They wouldn't have ever considered it.
Yeah.
They don't typically know anybody who does these types of careers.
Right.
And so we have pizza at these beginning, you know, kickoff events. Every year the teacher does a kickoff where there's a panel of women who come into the school and talk to girls about what they do. Mm-hmm. And there's pizza, which is sometimes why the girls show up in the first place. We don't care why they show up.
Right.
We just want them to show up.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We can
really get them excited. And the way we work is the central theme of what Ignite Worldwide does is women tell their story to the girls.
Yeah.
How she got where she is today.
Right.
How she overcame her obstacles. Maybe she didn't have money to go to school. Maybe she struggled in math or some other subjects. Maybe there were other situations going on in her life that were difficult.
Mm-hmm.
She really puts herself out there and becomes vulnerable with the girls to help them understand that there are so many opportunities today in these career choices, but the girls don't know about them.
Yeah.
So women really want the girls to know and to understand that she was just like them.
Yeah.
Didn't know about these careers. And usually women find them by accident.
Right, right.
We want to change that.
Yeah, you actually hit on something, and you're kind of diving into that a little bit. A question I have about this is, why do you think that young girls and women have not historically been involved in these STEM programs? Is it really a matter of access or, you know, sort of perception around being in sort of the STEM field? Why do you think that just now we're starting to see this shift in connecting girls to STEM?
I think that's a great question. Frankly, when computers first came out, all the computers were targeted as boys' toys.
Yeah, yeah,
all
that's true.
The commercials told little boys that they could do their homework on it, that their dads can help them do projects, engineering type activities, programming. But all of the computers were targeted to little boys. And frankly, that had a huge impact on how girls perceived using a computer.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
And so girls today, they're don't even consider these careers.
Right.
It's not even something that they're thinking about, and there's no connection to them because they don't know other women who do them. 90% of the women in our country pick very traditional career choices because that's what they know.
Yeah.
And that's what they see.
Yeah.
But traditionally, these careers were targeted to boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
So, in your experience, do the teenagers who participate with Ignite Worldwide engage more within their communities, their schools, or just their local communities than you think they would if they hadn't engaged with you at all?
So, the result of what happens when Ignite Worldwide is at a school is the statistics change in this way. The computer science class, the tech engineering class, or any technology class goes from under 5% female enrollment to 30 to 80%.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
So that's why we just won the award from the White House Office of Science and Technology and the National Science Foundation.
Get out of here.
The best gender equity programs for STEM in the country.
Wow.
Nice. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a very big award.
Yeah.
We've won very big awards all throughout our history. And it's because we're getting the job done.
Right on.
So let me ask you about public schooling in general. Do you think public schooling has done or does enough currently to engage teenagers, not only in their community broadly, but girls specifically in STEM? I mean, I guess that's the reason why you guys exist in the first place, is because there has been this lack of it. Do you see that public schools are getting better at engaging young girls in STEM like this to get them to be more aware that these things exist?
So I worked in San Seattle schools for 18 years.
Yeah.
I ran Ignite Worldwide in Seattle schools.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the schools are stretched absolutely to capacity
right.
on what they can do. The teachers are absolutely working at their fullest. Everybody is working so hard,
mm-hmm.
and it's not for lack of wanting to do this work. They need the tools.
Yeah.
And so I realized after, you know, attending many educational conferences over the years, talking with teachers, because I am one. So the teacher said to me, Kathy, if you wrote this down, we could actually use it. And the Department of Education here in Washington actually nominated Ignite Worldwide as the best gender equity STEM program in the state.
Wow.
In 2007. And then we won the national award in 2007. And the reality is that they just need the tools. And they
yeah.
need the help and the assistance to have a structure so that the teachers are so willing to participate, the schools are so willing to support this program. It's because we are one of them. We are an
right.
education program that was designed and built for schools to
yeah.
be used by teachers. So we just are serving, we're like another arm of the educational system.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people are doing their best, but the reason why Ignite Worldwide works is because we help girls understand emotionally through hearing women's stories, visiting the companies and seeing what the women do there, attending conferences to see what they learn at the college level. And by that, through that, the girls really get in an emotional way why these career choices are a great choice and why they can do it.
Yeah.
Because we have to battle the lack of confidence, number one,
mm-hmm.
the lack of understanding what these careers are about. And Ignite Worldwide really does cover all of that for a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't replicate what we're doing. So they just need to use our tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we serve the public schools and don't charge them.
Yeah. Wow. That's excellent.
So I was looking at your website and saw that you have Ignite Worldwide alumni serving as current board members. How important is it for alumni to come back and to serve your organization?
We so appreciate the greatest reward of our work is having alumni to come back and pay it forward. We have many alumni on our board, on all of our committees, and they come back because Ignite Worldwide changed their lives
mm-hmm.
because they're directors at all these companies and they're being very successful. And we have a lot of alumni who participate and now working at these companies and now donating as corporate sponsors. So it's come full circle and there couldn't be a greater reward than that.
Oh, that's amazing. Let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to start giving to Ignite Worldwide. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Absolutely. So there are several different ways to give, but all you really need to do is go to our website and donate. And that's the easiest way. If you have the capacity, you know, just give what you can. Every dollar matters because all of the money goes towards serving the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Friends of Ignite program where any money you give, we celebrate you, appreciate you, honor you, and make you a part of our Ignite Friends network. And any corporate donations, you get a lot of opportunities that come with that.
Right.
Field trips to your company, a lot of visibility on our social media and our website. We really want to celebrate the people and the companies that give to Ignite Worldwide because they are our heroes. They are people that are making this happen.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Yes, we have the gala, which is the most important event of the year and which is really our largest fundraiser. It allows people to come to see the program up close. The girls come and speak that night. The middle school girls and high school girls will tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
And we have such a fabulous time. We have the girls, they're going to draw pictures this year of Be Your Own Shiro, or Who Is Your Shiro? And the pictures are being donated for the fundraiser.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have such a good time. So the gala on May 4th at the Shoto Soapbox, you can get it on igniteworldwide.org.
Nice.
Or you can be a corporate sponsor year-round, mm-hmm. which is supporting mm-hmm. us throughout the school year. And if you want to have girls visit your company, please get in touch with us.
Excellent.
Any dollar amount, it matters.
Awesome.
Because how nonprofits sustain themselves is through individual donations, really.
Absolutely.
It's the backbone of what keeps us going.
Absolutely.
So please go to our website and give something to us today, whatever you can, and know that that's going to be going towards serving young girls and getting them educated.
Excellent.
So they can make the best choices for their future.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for coming on and talking about what is a very important issue for the future of not only the girls in our country, but our overall economic well-being in general. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
So that was our interview with Kathy Rochfeller, the CEO and founder of Ignite Worldwide. Pretty interesting conversation surrounding STEM and how to get it in front of young girls and, try to get them to maybe think about that as a potential career path.
Yeah, when she was talking, I was thinking about, like, as a former girl. I was thinking about, like, my own thoughts about, you know, STEM kind of things.
Yeah.
STEM didn't exist when I was in high school.
Right.
And I wasn't in high school that long ago.
Right.
I mean, right. Years.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. It's a relatively new thing.
Yeah. But, like, I remember I love science. I love math.
Yeah.
I am a nerd.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff. But in school, science was almost unbearable.
Right.
For me. It was dry. The teachers were either not engaged or they were, like, I don't know. It was just nothing was there, you know?
Yeah.
So at no point did I ever think, oh, I'm going to go into science, any kind of science, you know? No, not at all.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe that's a little bit of the problem, too,
is that
presentation of it is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, going from like a textbook and you're reading about mitochondria and something, right? You're just kind of like, what is happening?
It was just really, it seems so textbook driven instead of, let's actually
experience
look at
driven.
This stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
talk about it, touch it.
Yeah.
You can touch science.
Think about, that's the whole point. Think about when you're in elementary school, how cool science was when you could do things
cool.
and you had reactions.
I'm going to pet the lichens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that, for whatever reason, gets, like, lost in
high
school.
It really does.
Right? It's very weird. But I thought she made a really interesting point about the whole, like, computers were driven toward boys thing, because I really felt that for sure. I mean, as a boy, you had access to gaming and you had access to programs, and your dad would, you know, like, you and your dad would connect over, like, things like, my brother-in-law connected with his dad through the CAD programs they had, with architectural stuff on there, right? Like, those were inherently geared toward boys.
Yeah, I didn't sign up for the CAD program because it was a boy thing.
Right.
Yeah, I remember
that too. And so I think that, for sure, like, it was built and sort of advertised to boys.
Yeah, and I feel too, like you said, video games. I mean, video games, I love video games, but it was something that when I was younger, it was like, no, you don't
Your
get
brothers
that. Your brothers
played video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like this, we got this more for them than we did for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember where I read something that talked about how one of the things that they've noticed with regards to video games is that so boys still interact more with video games than girls do, right? Girls will interact, I think, it was a study done out of Harvard. Girls interact more on social media.
Okay.
Not by very much. I mean, young boys do a lot of it too, but they do statistically interact more on social media, and boys statistically interact with video games. It's still a pretty wide gap there. And how we've kind of misinterpreted the strength of video games. Like, yes, there are shoot 'em up games and that sort of thing.
There's
car driving games and stuff like that. But one of the things that they noticed through this study that boys do that girls don't is that boys now, because you can play remotely with another player and you're on a team, is they actually are learning how to be teammates within this setting of a video game. So as you're going to kill zombies and you're looking around, you're talking to your friend about going to that other room, going to the room, and you're working together.
Oh, so they're like becoming logistical and
Whereas social media, as you know, is still a tool, especially when you're a teenager, of almost driving people apart a bit.
Yeah.
Right? Like like girls will post things about other girls that they know or those sort of things. How it is it's almost a little bit more divisive than playing video games.
Or even with that whole, like, my life is better than it really is. Yes. Look at it, everybody.
The masking of it, right? Yeah. Like, perfect picture. I took 25 selfies before I posted one because the filter was perfect this time.
Exactly.
That sort of stuff where you're trying to generate.
Yeah, all that is really super solo. Like, that's not involving anybody else. Like, you're not engaging in anything but what, perfection for perfection's sake?
Yeah, and that still is an inherently... female-driven thing. I mean, there are lots of boys who are now affected by that, but certainly I think there's lots. It still affects girls more than boys.
Girls have to be perfect in a lot of ways. So.
Right. It's still something that exists, you know, out there. So that was pretty interesting. I thought all that was really interesting from Cassie. Yeah. But you do have some facts and figures.
I do. So, like, you know, I was looking at, you know, first I started kind of looking this up about, like, engaging teenagers in communities and things.
Yeah.
And I found this youth engagement toolkit from Canada that was...
Oh, well, great. Thanks a lot, Canada.
Yeah. I mean, well...
Rubber noses in it.
Yeah. I mean...
Did you identify with teenagers?
I didn't find anything, you know, by any kind of government in our country.
Thanks a lot, Trudeau.
Thanks, Obama. but yeah, I mean, there was like this thing that had tips for adult allies as to how to engage teenagers better.
Okay.
To be listeners, to ask questions and be inquisitive, to be yourself, be an adult, be who you are in order to like show a kid like this is me. I'm safe being me. I'm happy being me.
Yes.
You can be you too.
Yeah.
Check your assumptions at the door.
Check your assumptions at the door, fool.
too bad we don't have video for that epic hand gesture.
Yeah, I
that was
there.
What? Look at me. seek input and explain decisions and restrictions. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But then I was like, okay, well let me get away from Canada
dive
and get a little
bit
more into.
Yeah. How about we talk about our own country?
So I Googled first. I started with Washington State teenagers, and everything that came up was terrible.
Okay.
Okay. So it was
it's all
like,
bad news.
Yeah. So it was all about like, you know, first off, it was like, how old do you have to be to work in Washington State? And like, then it started with like teen links and resources, facts about teen and young adult drownings, anti-vaxxer children, teen sexting. And then the pictures that were
coming
up. I was like, God, this is terrible. I don't want to talk about that at all. So,
so you skipped that.
I skipped that and I changed tact.
Okay.
So I have trivia for you.
Oh, I love trivia. You know I love trivia.
I know you love trivia.
All right.
And I went with trivia that is relative to when we were teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
I already like where you're going with this.
All right. So the last one I think will be the hardest for you.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
okay.
All of this trivia.
Yeah.
Go back.
Okay.
To 1999.
1998.
How old were you in 1999?
I have frosted tips.
Awesome.
I have a puka shell necklace.
Oh, Philip.
I have, okay. I don't have braces anymore.
Okay, good.
I have a goatee. All right, we're good. I'm locked in.
So what were you, 18?
Fanalimp Biscuit.
19? Fanalimp Biscuit.
Yeah, yeah.
You're that guy.
Yeah, Limp Biscuit. Backwards hat.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 19.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're on the cusp of becoming a true adult.
I mean, I think. Well, probably, I mean, an adult by legal definition.
You're
I was
already
not
an
even
adult.
Close
yeah.
to
no.
being a real adult.
Yeah, that probably happened, what, last year?
yeah, totally.
Okay.
Okay.
So 1999.
Do it. Let's do it.
Okay. I have a list.
Okay.
The four top highest grossing films.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my
four,
gosh.
Okay. Now, can you name two of them?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So 98 was Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
90.
Or I think that was 97, wasn't it?
It was 97, Titanic?
I feel like that was 97.
Oh, crap.
So 99.
99 was that? Did Shakespeare in Love win in 99?
I think that was 98.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
But also, we're talking highest grossing film. I don't think Shakespeare.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of like I'm trying to put my mindset.
You're getting there. You're getting
there right?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Saving Ryan-ish. What was the next year's deal? That's got to be some sort of animated feature. How about like Toy Story 2?
Oh, right on the head, Yeah. You pulled that one out of Magic Land.
Yeah. Nice. Unbelievable.
All right. Can you name another? Because I wouldn't have thought of Toy Story at all, honestly. Yeah. And I wouldn't have thought of the first. Toy Story is the third highest ranking, right?
Okay.
So I wouldn't have thought of number 1, 2, or 3. I would have thought of 4, the number 4th one. But the others I wouldn't have.
So that wasn't like superhero land yet.
Not quite.
Yeah, nobody was doing superhero stuff yet.
No.
I was working. Was I working at the movie theater at the time? I was.
You should be full of all these movies.
Oh, so maybe it was like one of those action movies like Armageddon, Bad Boys 2, or what was that one I was just thinking of? The really awful one. Pearl Harbor? Let's go with Pearl Harbor.
No, it was not Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Also, Bad Boys 2 is the highest grossing movie of the year?
No.
Probably not. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say no.
Okay.
Number 4.
Okay.
The Matrix.
Oh, my gosh. How could I not remember
right?
that one?
Okay.
What a mind-blowing movie.
That was awesome. It was an incredible movie. So you said number 3 was Toy Story 2. Number 2, The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't have thought 99 for that one.
Yeah, I know. That I would have thought earlier.
Yeah, I would have too. Number 1.
Wait, if it's The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. What could be the number one grossing, highest grossing movie?
Oh, my gosh. This sucks. I can't believe I don't know this. What is it?
It's Star Wars, Episode 1, Phantom Menace.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Wow, I really don't. I don't know why that. I think that landed in the 2000s. That's crazy.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
I
got
one. You got
one. Kay. The most obscure one, by the way.
Yeah, you did. Next. I've got a list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 songs, okay?
Okay.
So if you can give me 3 of the top songs, top 100 hits of 1999, can you give me 3?
How about I Want It That Way?
I don't have that on this list.
Nookie?
No.
Boy, what are we talking about came out in 99?
Yeah, dude.
Is that later? Maybe that stuff's later.
No, I think what you're talking about was a little earlier.
Oh, a little earlier.
I think that's
yeah. Maybe this is like Maroon 5 territory.
No, not yet.
How about something Kid Rock-ish?
He's not on this list of 8. There's a lot of ladies on this list.
Oh, so there's got to be a something from Destiny's Child is on there.
Nope.
No.
Destiny's Child was a little later, like 2000, 2001, 2002.
Oh my gosh, what am I missing here? Madonna?
No.
Okay. You're going to have to hit me with Britney Spears, maybe.
She's on here.
Yeah. Britney Spears. Can't be Hit Me One More Time.
It is.
Hit me one more time.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle.
There you go. Number 2.
Yeah.
Can you give me one more?
Okay. Hold on. What's another lady singer who was big then? In that same realm.
Yeah.
Sort of like Pink?
Nope.
No.
I do have one band on here that is 5 men, and
it's 5 men.
And you,
Sugar Ray.
Yeah,
Sugar Ray. Every morning.
Every morning.
Oh, I love that song. Okay, cool.
So the other songs were "No Scrubs" by TLC.
Oh wow, 99.
Yeah. Fact: TLC still does not accept Scrubs.
R.I.P. Left Eye.
Still no Scrubs.
R.I.P. Left Eye.
Yeah, I know, right? "Angel of Mine," Monica. "Heartbreak Hotel" by Whitney Houston. I would not have thought that one at all.
Come close there.
"Kiss Me" by Sixpence None the Richer. You remember that?
I remember that one.
And then this one, "Cher," "Believe."
Oh my gosh!
Right?
Wow. Yeah. Kind. That's why I saw. That's why you hesitated with the Madonna thing, because it's kind of that story, a comeback sort of deal. Okay.
Okay. So then we're gonna go to the next set of trivia.
Okay.
It's still 1999.
99.
We're talking Fortune 500 companies.
Okay.
Okay. Can you, I have the top 5 Fortune 500 companies in 1999 based off of revenue, okay? Can you give me 2 of them?
Microsoft?
No.
Oh.
Get out.
Yeah, wow. No Microsoft.
You think with, like, STEM.
Definitely not Apple because they're not around then.
Nope.
Fortune 500 companies.
So 1999, what were we still kind of doing then, I guess?
Well, we weren't buying anything online, so none of those Amazons and none of those things were there.
True that.
What were we doing in 99 that would have made any money for anybody? Oh, my gosh. Why am I struggling here? Let's go with, something like Sony.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Okay, what do you got?
Number five, General Electric.
Oh, yeah, because everybody needs electricity.
That's true.
Yeah.
Number four, ExxonMobil.
Well.
Gasolina.
Yeah, okay. Everybody needs gas.
Number three.
And that was pre Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Number three is probably still in the top five.
Yeah.
Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be in the top two.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Number two and number one are along the lines of number four.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Ford Motor Company. Number one is General Motors. Remember when they were a big deal?
Wow, yeah. General Motors. Holy cow. Fast forward like 10 years later and they're on the verge of bankruptcy.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
They were the number one company in 99.
Number one company in 99, General Motors. They had, what was it, in the millions, like 290.
How much stuff has changed?
I don't know what the hell that's supposed to be. It's numbers. It doesn't make any sense. But they were in the millions.
Wow.
They're in the millions, people. Look it up on the internet. The internet will tell you. Okay, so last set of trivia for 1999.
Yes.
Okay. I have a list of five things, important events that occurred in 1999.
Okay.
Okay. So, you could say other important events, but they're not on my list.
Okay.
So, I don't care.
Okay.
But.
Important events.
Give me one important event that happened. It doesn't have to be just in the States. It could be worldwide, whatever you want.
How about, I feel like this was around that time, if I'm not mistaken. How about Rwanda?
Is not on my list.
Okay. Maybe that's a little later. Not Bosnia. That was mid-90s.
Ooh, you're close.
Really?
You're close.
Oh, wow. I'm close, huh?
Mm-hmm. With Bosnia.
Like the Bosnia-Herzegovina. What is that? Who's the other one there? What's the other country there?
It's not a country anymore.
Former Czech Republic?
No.
Oh, wow. Yugoslavia?
Yugoslavia. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So in March, a 78-day offensive by NATO forces were launched in response to
for
Serb
Milosevic.
On
Yeah. That was a big deal. I remember that for sure.
Yeah. So that happened in 1999.
Yeah. What are some other seminal events?
President Clinton was acquitted.
Oh, well. Nice job.
You know, back when it was a real big deal for the president to have any sex acts.
Back when it was a problem.
Yeah, when it was a problem.
Today, we're very laissez-faire about
it. Yeah, we're cool. So, in 1999, Columbine happened.
Oh, wow. That really changed the course of a lot of things.
It did.
Yeah.
Also, there was an earthquake in Turkey that killed 13,000 people.
Oh, my gosh.
In August of that year.
Wow.
And the last one on my list is the women's soccer team wins the World Cup.
Hey.
And it's that one where Brandi Chastain has that shot where she's like screaming and happy and everything.
Go USA.
Go USA.
Yeah. Columbine is really interesting around that time because I think that, I mean, didn't you get the sense that was going to change a few things?
It did. Yeah. I mean, I was a senior in high school and they shut down our campus. We weren't allowed to leave. And then they were like, this is really inconvenient.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
I remember definitely feeling like, oh, this isn't the last one.
Yeah.
You know, because they had made stars of themselves, basically.
They did. These and guys. The media couldn't stop reporting about them. I know the names of the perpetrators. Yeah. I don't know the names of the victims.
Right. And I think that was the first time you got it. And I felt like a year or two later you had Virginia Tech. And then after that, it just
ballooned from there.
Right.
I'm really proud of the media now for reporting better when it comes to like the Christchurch shooting that just happened.
Yeah, they do a better job.
They're doing a better job. They're not like airing the manifesto of these nightmare people, but they're, you know, they're talking about how do we fix this instead.
Yeah, it kind of comes back to what we were talking about a little bit today, more broadly, not so much the STEM thing, but certainly it points to the idea that are we doing enough for our teenagers growing up to make them feel like they have a sense of direction, a sense of where they can go, a sense of belonging? And the ones who don't are the ones who struggle with these sort of things and maybe become violent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it kind of brings it all back.
Yeah.
Nice job. We look at that. We tied it up like a nice little bow. We want to thank Kathy for coming on the show. We want to thank you for being patient during our trivia. Although, let's face it, you like the trivia. You like it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Who doesn't like trivia?
You're guessing it while I'm trying to guess. You know that.
And yelling, like, come on, fella.
Yeah.
How do you not know this?
It's Star Wars, you idiot.
Star Wars. No scrubs.
You don't want no scrubs.
I was driving a car. Of course it's gas.
So, thank you for being patient on that one. Yeah. Give you some upcoming events. So, we have our leadership breakfast 9 days away. May 9th will be the leadership breakfast. Amazing speaker set, including Jordan Babineau, the former Seattle Seahawk. It'll be at the Skookum Creek Event Center at the Little Creek Resort in Shelton. Is also PSRW week the week of May 8th. Yeah. We will be at the Olympia event. And then in June, because many of you who are listening to this might be going to the Leadership Breakfast, and for those of you who are CFD volunteers, you will be getting trained as lead volunteers starting in June.
It's crazy.
We're diving right back into all this stuff. But we're happy to have everybody back and kind of back on track and doing the fun stuff, which is getting ready to hold some events. So thank you to everybody for tuning in to this week's show. And we will see you next week, and get off my lawn.
Bye.